infidelity and being cheated on does the same thing to your brain as having PTSD. And I'm not just trying to be dramatic or use hyperbole. Academics and researchers have looked at brain scans, and there is a striking similarity. Now, I don't know much about the neuroscience, but from what I understand, the reason why this happens is because the brain processes that level of betrayal as an existential threat to its own survival. Now, obviously, that's not often literally the case. In extreme scenarios, it can be. But the person that you've trusted most, the person that you've selected as your partner to raise a family with, raise kids with potentially, has betrayed you. And that to your brain is dangerous. When your brain doesn't know who it can and can't trust, it goes into extreme survival mode. This is why you tend to experience intrusive, unwanted thoughts about the affair, emotional flashbacks triggered by certain places or situations or smells or ideas, hypervigilance, constantly scanning for signs of danger, difficulty concentrating on normal tasks because you're always looking over your shoulder, sleep disruption, nightmares, and even physical symptoms of pain, like in your chest or nausea or having headaches. This isn't just because someone is being dramatic. This is not just in their head. This is what happens when the brain is in survival mode. It can look like it's just mere trust issues from the outside, but it's actually a trauma response. And one of the ways this trauma response shows up is in the reassurance trap. This is where you are basically constantly seeking reassurance, whether you are with the same person that cheated on you or with a new partner. Like, the pattern is the exact same. This involves constant checking in. Where are you? Who are you with? It includes constant need of, like, a confirmation of how they're feeling. Like, do you really love me? Do you really want to be with me? Are you just saying that? It often involves a compulsive need to check phones and social media accounts. And the big one that really I've noticed in clients is becoming distressed when responses aren't immediate. So they might be fine as long as they get that quick closing of the loop. But if the loop is opened, that thought enters their head and they don't get an immediate answer, it's like it just continues to grow and expand, and more crazy thoughts fill the brain. But they're not crazy. It's, again, a response to the trauma they've endured. And let's say you're with a new partner. These responses aren't about them. This is about the unresolved trauma from being cheated on. The betrayed person's brain is trying to create safety by gathering information and eliminating uncertainty. One model of human behavior is taught by Tony Robbins, by Chloe Madonis, by a couple of people like that, and it's the human needs theory of human behavior. And it basically says that there's a couple of coins of human needs, things like the need for certainty and uncertainty, or in other words, for knowing what's happening in your life, but also having variety. That's one set of coins. Others are for significance, where you feel like you stand out from the crowd, but also belonging or connection or love, where you feel a connection with the crowd. What tends to happen is that certainty need goes into extreme overdrive when you've been cheated on, and it becomes this tyrant kind of wreaking havoc on the rest of your human needs, where you can't feel like you can actually connect with someone because this human need of certainty has risen so high. So this is some of what goes on with your brain. The reassuring seeking provides temporary relief, but it ultimately just strengthens the underlying anxiety. The more you do it, you think you'd eventually come to have peace, but what's actually happening is you're just training yourself to need more and more frequent hits of reassurance. It's like smoking. You might think to yourself, I can just smoke once a day, then it's twice a day, then it's three times a day, and then it's a pack a day. The more that you engage in this type of behavior, the more that you need to engage in it. The more that you constantly ask for reassurance, the more that you need reassurance. And if you're dating someone, you are putting them through a lot by doing this. I think that most people recognize that. You are going to put someone through a lot if they need to be constantly able to, at a moment's notice, drop what they're doing and call you to reassure you at any moment. Now, when things are really bad, that can be expected, but expecting this to be multiple times a day, every day, that is too far. That isn't fair to your partner. And so because of all of this, unprocessed trauma, which leads to this reassurance-seeking behavior, tends to make relationships unstable. Again, this is whether you are trying to seek reconciliation with the person who cheated on you, or a new relationship. Either way, that pattern, as long as it's there, makes the relationship unstable. That doesn't mean that you're damaged, doesn't mean you're not dateable, but it makes it very difficult for the relationship to work out in the long run, because there will be emotional volatility, swinging between closeness and distance, interpreting neutral actions as threatening, like a delayed text suddenly means, okay, they must be cheating. You often fall into testing behaviors of, okay, I'm going to do this, see if they notice it, and like just playing a lot of games. Preemptive emotional withdrawal to avoid being hurt again, projecting past partners' behaviors onto the current relationship. And when someone hasn't worked through their trauma, they may unconsciously make their new partner responsible for fixing it. This creates an impossible dynamic, because no amount of reassurance or proof or effort or being there at the drop of the hat can heal a wound that requires internal processing. They can help, but you need to be realistic about where you're at in your healing journey and whether you've done enough work necessary to engage in a healthy relationship. And again, this goes for both with a new partner, where they're probably going to be less involved in the healing journey, and with seeking reconciliation. I've said it a million times, that person who cheated on you will not be the one to make everything better. You need to do that, and even if it's going to work out in the long run, it's typically a couple months out there type of goal. You need to do the healing necessary internally, if that's ever going to be a chance. And one thing I'll address, which I don't like saying because it really makes it sound like I'm placing blame on people who've been cheated on, but hear me out. If you've been cheated on multiple times, I think you might need to consider the possibility that there is some pattern of partner selection in yourself that needs working on. If someone has been repeatedly cheated on across multiple relationships, there probably is something going on there. Again, being cheated on is never the victim's fault, but there's a difference between blame and awareness. And if you become aware of how you're unconsciously selecting partners, you might notice that they tend to be narcissistic, they might be emotionally unavailable, they might need constant validation from others, they might be people with unresolved attachment issues, and they might be people who don't treat you well. And that's perhaps part of why you select them, because of some deeper self-worth issues, because you don't want to be loved. And so eventually they act in exact accordance with who you sort of deep down always knew them to be. Again, this doesn't mean that you deserve the betrayal. It means that in the long run of healing from the actual trauma that's caused here, instead of trying that reassurance cycle and getting stuck on that merry-go-round, figure out if you are unconsciously selecting for someone that will most likely cheat on you. And if you actually resolve those internal issues of like, why do I feel like I sort of deserve this behavior? Why am I going after someone that's emotionally unavailable? That can actually bring a lot of peace and resolution instead of just trying to do the constant chasing of validation. Because when we select partners from a place of emotional wounding, we often confuse intensity for intimacy. The chemistry feels powerful precisely because it activates our unresolved issues. So for example, someone might end up choosing a partner that reminds them of a familiar uncertainty they experienced in childhood. Or they might be drawn to partners they feel that they have a chance to save or to fix. And the problem is that relationships chosen from this place often recreate the very dynamics we're trying to heal. We end up in patterns where betrayal, abandonment, or emotional neglect continue to appear in different forms with different people. So breaking this requires self-awareness. What qualities actually draw me to someone? Am I mistaking anxiety and uncertainty for passion? So back to the human needs idea. Some people have a really high need for variety. They want to feel like they're constantly living on the edge, and so they're attracted to people that are unpredictable. But if you recognize after a while that living and dating based off of that value is constantly leading you to people that are cheating on you, then perhaps you can find variety in other ways in your life instead of in the person that you date. Perhaps that is somewhere where you do want to prioritize someone that makes you feel loved, connected with, and certain. So this awareness, again, is not about blame. It's about empowering you to make different decisions going forward. But ultimately, as you know, we can't control whether someone chooses to be faithful. Monitoring their location, checking their phone, restricting their friendships, that might provide some temporary relief, but it doesn't create any genuine safety. It doesn't create any genuine or helpful or real sense of certainty. At best, it creates compliance and obedience, but not commitment. And I think that you want to have a partner that you trust, not one that fears you. Real safety comes from choosing partners with integrity. It comes from building open, honest communication. It comes from developing trust based on consistent behavior over time. And that means that it's not going to be immediate. Your trust in them is not going to be immediate. It's supposed to be something that grows. Real safety comes from creating a relationship where both people feel valued and understood, and it comes from maintaining healthy boundaries. And the paradox is that trying to control someone's loyalty often undermines it. People stay faithful because they want to, not because they're forced to. And when betrayal trauma isn't processed, it creates a weird distortion field through which all new relationships are viewed. Innocent behaviors get misinterpreted through the lens of past pain. A partner working late becomes they're probably cheating. A friendly conversation with someone becomes evidence of interest. Privacy becomes secrecy. Independence becomes abandonment. And this isn't because the betrayed person is irrational. It's because the trauma, like I was talking about, literally rewires how the brain is processing information. Past threats appear present even when they're not. And this is why professional support is so crucial. Healing betrayal trauma often requires help to distinguish between actual present dangers and echoes of past wounds, and being able to have that conversation with someone that isn't thinking you're crazy. And I know I've said this before, but just as a reminder again, healing from betrayal trauma isn't going to be a linear one-size-fits-all thing. It's a process that takes customized support. It takes some time, takes some commitment, but it's absolutely possible, and it doesn't have to take years like most people say it does. With proper support, that hypervigilance can fade. The intrusive thoughts become less frequent, less intense, and then they go away. And the goal isn't just to forget about it or to never feel any pain again. It's to integrate the experience in a way that allows you to move forward without feeling controlled by it. To reach a point where the betrayal is something that happened to you, not something that defines you. And in a lot of ways, this is all about developing choice. Having the wisdom to know what it is that you want, why you want it, and act decisively. And again, if this is something new, if this is fresh, be gentle with yourself. Give yourself some grace. You're not weak. You're not overreacting. This is a normal response to a breach of trust. You will survive this. You'll emerge from it with deeper wisdom about yourself, and you will still have so much opportunity to live a great life.